Hello, this is Lucy Wright here with the talk for Sunday the 21st of April. Well, thank you for joining us and listening to this sermon today as we continue with our series on Jesus, from cradle to cross and beyond. Over the last few weeks, we've been looking at Jesus appearing to different people following his resurrection. So just as a bit of a recap, for anyone who has missed a week or may have forgotten where we are up to in our story. So far we have looked at Easter, of Jesus dying on the cross on Good Friday, and then 3 days later, an empty tomb. Nobody, Jesus risen from the dead. We have then looked over the last few weeks about Jesus meeting with people following his resurrection. Christine shared with us the story of Jesus meeting with two believers on the road to Emmaus and how they eventually recognised the man that was with them was in fact the risen Jesus. Then last week, Roy shared the story of Jesus appearing to the disciples in the upper room and how he met them where they were and how they encountered the risen Jesus. And today, we are going to look at another encounter that Jesus had with his disciples. So let's just pray before I go any further. Heavenly Father, I pray that you will help anyone listening to this sermon to be expectant and have our hearts open to hearing from you and what you want to say to us today. Amen. So to start, I'm just going to read for us our passage of scripture for today, which is from John chapter 20, verses 24 to 29. Now Thomas, one of the 12, was not with the disciples when Jesus came. So the other disciples told him, "We have seen the Lord." But he said to them, "Unless I see the nail marks in his hands and put my finger where the nails were and put my hand into his side, I will not believe." A week later, his disciples were in the house again, and Thomas was with them. Though the doors were locked, Jesus came and stood among them and said, "Peace be with you." Then he said to Thomas, "Put your finger here. See my hands. Reach out your hand and put it into my side. Stop doubting and believe." Thomas said to him, "My Lord and my God." Then Jesus told him, "Because you have seen me, you have believed. Blessed are those who have not seen and yet have believed." So this encounter that Jesus had with the disciples is a bit different to the one we talked about last week in the upper room. Yes, the disciples met with Jesus, but one of them was missing. We read in verse 24 that Thomas was not with them when Jesus appeared to them the first time. We then go on to read in verse 25 that Thomas was doubting the other disciples when they said they had actually seen the risen Jesus. He was saying to them, "Unless I see the nail marks in his hands and put my finger where the nails were and put my hand into his side, I will not believe." So this morning, I want to split my talk into two parts. And the first part is, I'll believe it when I see it. Living in our world today, our lives can be so full of doubt, can't they? The dictionary definition of doubt is a feeling of uncertainty or lack of conviction. And I'm sure we all know what that feels like from time to time. Doubts about whether we can make ends meet at the end of the month. Doubts whether our jobs are secure, doubts about our health, doubts about relationships that we are in, doubts if we are good enough, or doubts that God even hears us or loves us. You only have to look at the news or social media and read fake news that fuels our struggle to trust what anyone says. Often people want hard evidence to settle their doubts, needing reassurance. There's that common phrase, isn't there? I'll believe it when I see it. We hear it in everyday life when people are expressing doubt. He's going to give up smoking. I'll believe it when I see it. Mortgage rates are going to go down. I'll believe it when I see it. Mum, I promise I'm going to tidy my room. I'll believe it when I see it. There's so much in our lives that can bring us doubts. Things that we want proof for. Hard evidence in order to believe it. We want to see it with our own eyes. And this can also be true in the context of Christianity. Many people say they will believe it when they see it. They will believe in God if they actually see God, or when they have an answer to prayer, or they see healing, or they see something miraculous. Many people find it very difficult to believe in a God without actually seeing him. And I guess the good news is that if we are in that boat today, you are not alone. As Thomas, one of Jesus' disciples, doubted Jesus had even risen from the dead. Let's not forget that Thomas will have spent a lot of time with Jesus prior to his crucifixion, listening to his teachings, seeing him perform miracles. He would have known the Old Testament scriptures that foretold exactly what happened with his death and resurrection. And yet, he still didn't believe that Jesus had really risen from the dead. He couldn't get his head around it. Couldn't believe his close friends who all told him that they had physically seen him with their own eyes and shared a meal with him. Thomas wanted to see for himself. He wanted to put his hands in his side where the wound would have been from the spear that was thrust into his side. He wanted to put his fingers in the holes in his hands where the nails would have been holding him to that cross. I wonder how we would have reacted in that situation. Would you have believed that Jesus had come back to life just on the word from your friends? Do you feel like you are still searching for that evidence that Jesus really is real? That he really is the Son of God who died on a cross, rose from the dead 3 days later, and promises forgiveness of sins and everlasting life in heaven for anyone who chooses to believe and trust in him. In our story today, Thomas doubted that his friends had actually seen Jesus. Were they just messing with him? Was this just a practical joke? Was it an April Fool's Day? Or maybe they were mistaken. Maybe they saw a guy who just looked a little bit like Jesus or spoke a bit like him. We can doubt those close to us all the time, can't we? Even if they have never given us a reason to doubt them before, we can sometimes struggle to fully trust them. And this is how Thomas felt. Now, maybe we would expect Jesus to be angry, toss Thomas aside because of his doubt, not want anything more to do with him. But this story shows us the compassionate, understanding nature of Jesus. The story goes on to say that when Jesus appeared to the disciples for that second time and Thomas was there, Jesus knew he was having these doubts. So Jesus offered for Thomas to see his wounds and touch them and get that proof that he wanted. We then read that Thomas then believed that Jesus really had risen from the dead and it really was him. But is that really believing? Do we really need to see in order to believe? In response to Thomas, Jesus said to him, "Because you have seen me, you have believed. Blessed are those who have not seen and yet have believed." And that brings me onto the second part of my talk. Seeing is not believing. Christians today have never physically seen the risen Jesus. In a few weeks, we will be celebrating Ascension Sunday, the time soon after Jesus' resurrection that he went back to heaven to be with God. And no one has physically seen him since then, and we won't until Jesus returns to earth. Yet there are millions of Christians around the world. Therefore, we must be believing without seeing. If you call yourself a follower of Christ, you call yourself a Christian, then like me, we are believing in Jesus without seeing him in the flesh. But why do we do that? How do we do that? Well, it's faith, isn't it? Faith. Hebrews 11 verse 1 says, "Now faith is the assurance of things hoped for and the conviction of things not seen." Faith is what allows us to believe without seeing. But just because we may never have physically seen Jesus doesn't mean we can't still encounter him. We can be in the presence of Jesus each and every day if we choose to. Before Jesus returned to heaven, there was the gift of the Holy Spirit, the third part of our Trinity. God is with us in the form of the Holy Spirit to live among us and allow us to experience God's presence. Thomas wanted Jesus' physical presence in our story today, but God's plan is wiser. He has not limited himself to a physical body, but he wants to be present with us all of the time. He's even with us right now in the form of the Holy Spirit. You can talk to him day or night, and he can be as real to you today as he was in the flesh with Thomas that day. But how do we do that? Well, we can encounter God through worship, through prayer and quiet time with him, through reading the Bible, through song, through spending time with other Christians. Many people say they can look back at times in their lives that they have seen God moving in their lives. And this is the only proof that they need to know that God is real. I can certainly look back at times in my own life that I think I would have struggled to get through without God by my side. Many times I look back and think that everything fell into place a little bit too perfectly for it to have not been perfectly designed by God. Times where it hasn't been a coincidence that something has happened, but I believe a God incidence, where God has been working in my life, where God has been working his purposes out in my life, where he's been leading me on a path without me even realising it at the time. Even when we don't feel like it sometimes, he is working in our lives if we trust in him. Just have a think about times in your own life when you have felt God's presence. Even if you've never thought about this until now, think about it today. Look back at your life and you will see the past faithfulness of God. Times that God has shown himself to you. Even when you don't see it, he's working. He never stops working in our lives. Some people also say that they recognise God when they see a newborn baby or they see a breathtaking view. Faith is a multifaceted thing, but it is based on having that living relationship with God day by day. I guess to end, I just want to say that it's okay to doubt sometimes in our walk of faith. Whether you have been a Christian for years, whether you are new to this whole faith thing, or maybe you're not quite sure what you believe yet, or how to navigate all this Jesus stuff. We all have times in our lives where we struggle, or have doubts and questions about our faith. I have had doubts. Many of our leadership team here will also have had doubts too. Some people need to doubt before they believe. And that's okay, as long as those doubts lead to questions and those questions lead to answers and furthering of our faith. The problem is when we let those doubts fester and we don't seek answers from the Bible or through prayer or through talking to other Christians, because then our doubts can lead to stubbornness and unbelief and weakens our faith. The challenge is to let the doubts deepen your faith as you learn more about who God is. Thomas seems to get a bit of a bad press for being doubting Thomas. But in a way, he was right not to just rely on what others told him. Being a Christian is about a personal relationship with Jesus. We can't just rely on what others tell us about Jesus. We have to make our minds up and our own decision. Thomas had to come to Jesus with his doubts and he laid them before him And we can do that too. Jesus told him, "Stop doubting and believe." And Thomas replied, "My Lord and my God." What's your response to the risen Jesus? I pray that we all can echo what Thomas said this morning for ourselves, saying, "My Lord and my God." Amen.